Okay. We're both here now.
Okay. Hello, Jennifer, right?
Yes. Hi.
Yes. Hi, Carlos Bang here.
Yeah.
Okay, I've gone through most of the material you emailed me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just one of the 12 elders, but I appreciate you spending all the time to send all this information to me.
Yeah. Well, nobody else is listening.
I'm saddened by that because something like this should have been, in my opinion, should have been said a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, Carlos. We were telling somebody else today, and I cried. I cried through the pain both of us have gone through.
Yeah, and that's so unfortunate.
Well, it's one thing taking 11 months, but we've had to fight to try and tell the truth of what has happened. We're not untruthful people.
Yeah.
We've been literally suppressed in trying to tell the truth.
So, I mean, you mentioned that you would seek to have an independent inquiry into it.
We are set. We've
so
been.
I can support. I do support that.
Oh, good, good.
But. You know, like I don't know how I can go about. I can definitely send an email to Dave and tell him that.
No, I think the only way you're going to do this is to send it to all your fellow elders, because Dave and Brent Kinney have blocked everything that we've tried to do. They are, unfortunately, they've told us they have to support the pastor in anything, everything. You'll just waste your time talking today, because I don't know what it is. They, you know, our understanding is the elders are meant to be some kind of defense against overuse of authority by the pastors.
As well as
pastors. Yeah, I mean, the elders are above the pastors.
Well, if you are, ask your... I mean, we're willing to sit down with all the elders, with our witness, Pat Nixon. I think you know Pat. Do you know Pat?
I've heard of him, but I don't know him personally. Yeah.
Well, he's a very respected Christian in the city, and he's sat through all of this. I know when we shared some of the stuff with Grant Sylvester the other day, he said, I can't believe it. I just can't believe this. And he said, I don't know how to tackle this with my boss, who's Les Bombonard.
Yeah.
The most critical piece of evidence which they refused to accept was the phone conversation I had with our National Alpha director, where she says, Ron has cut you out. She's he says you're at conflict with him and with the team. And he did this a month before he actually dismissed us.
Okay, so Ron Bootman was appointed by Les to look after this marriage. Matters, right?
Correct.
Along with you and Jennifer?
No, we were only running the marriage course run by, you know, that comes from Alpha. We were only doing a small part of it.
I see.
And we were running marriage preparation. But we started to have problems where confidential information about couples was being shared.
And what we wanted to do was to address this problem with Ron Bushman, who didn't seem to feel that it was, you know, a big issue. And when you're dealing with people's lives, with married couples, with couples that are thinking of getting married, and there's very personal information that comes up through doing these courses, it has to be kept confidential between the facilitator and the couples that you're working with. Otherwise, it was becoming church gossip. And we said no.
Carlos, what happened when we met the Bushmans and Dave and Brent Kinney on the 8th of March? Ron's excuse was, Jennifer and I are so experienced that any one of the mentors could come to us any time and discuss their problems with us. So there were three cases where confidential information was shared with the group and with us personally. You know, enough information, we knew who the couples were. And Ron admitted at the 8th of March meeting he had not produced yet a proper confidentiality agreement. That's why he threw us out the first time.
When you're working in a ministry area, well, any ministry area actually within the church, I work in Discovery Lamb. I had to sign an agreement that, you know, if I saw something that in respect to the children as far as abuse or issues that came up when you're working with the children, I wasn't to go around saying, oh, you never share those personal moments where a child has thrown a temper tantrum or bit or done something. You don't use, you know, people and incidences' names because it's hurtful. Yeah. If I repeated something about somebody's child that I had witnessed something, for a start, they're children. My background's early childhood. I've worked in the field for 45 years. You don't share personal, intimate information about people within the church because, unfortunately, that is gossip. And we know, again, that gossip is a sin and everybody sins and does it, but we should not be sharing.
You can't do it with in marriage like that. And
these are people's lives that you're gossiping around.
You know, part of the problem that we had, we've been doing this marriage work for 18 years for Alpha, and we've done these very intimate studies with 60 couples at least. We can't share any of that information with anybody.
No.
If we have a problem, for instance, we've only had one problem at first or a challenge. So we spoke to Fern Bukowski, but the names were blacked out. She didn't know who the people were.
And she guided us.
She guided us, yeah. We're not counsellors, we're not expert counsellors, but we've dealt with 60 couples. We know what you should do. But Ron, that was the first time he threw us out of the ministry in January of 2015.
So my understanding is that, I guess there's differences of opinion, and because of that, he threw you out of the...
No. What he said at the meeting with Dave and Brent was he was so suspicious of what we were trying to do to meet. We just wanted to meet with him to say, Ron, we need a policy to stop this happening. And he said he thought we were actually in conflict with the co-couples we were going to work with. He manufactured this whole thing. He was so fearful of what we might do when we started the marriage course. He said, I can't let you do it.
Given when you were let
go? Well, that was the first time. He actually reinstated us later in the evening, but it was such a damaging effect on us. We carried on and ran the course, but then he completely blocked us from 2015 March until really the current day. We were never allowed to participate in marriage work despite all of our experience. And then on the 27th of May last year, he called us to a meeting, which he now claims we wanted to retire, but the truth is he threw us out.
His exact words to us, Carlos, in that meeting, and we did speak about many things in that meeting, but his exact words that that we had challenged his authority he led in and said under Matthew 18, because we had challenged his authority in a public place, that we could no longer be part of the marriage team. And, you know, again, we both of us know that Matthew
18:15.
It is probably one of the most misused pieces of scripture because people look at it and use it and abuse it. And this is what has happened in this instance, because under Matthew 18:15, if you have a problem with your brother, you go to him first and talk to him. And if your brother does not listen, then the second time you go with a witness or a friend.
Bring others with you, yeah.
And then there's a third stage, which hopefully nobody ever gets to, where if those two stages and the behavior and there's no repentance and there's no change, and then you go through to the third.
So he did not provide witnesses, evidence, and we were just so shocked by what he told us. Now, at the meeting on the 8th of March this year, he claimed that we asked to retire. And they were going to celebrate and say good things about us at an upcoming couples cafe evening. So that and this is what Dave and Brent Kinney believed. But a month before this happened to us, he had called Elaine Young, the National Director of Marriage and Family for Alpha, and she confirms in a recorded phone conversation that Ron told her that we were in conflict with him and the team members, and he was getting rid of us from the marriage team. He says it twice. And Elaine Young is a very reliable. She's been a good friend for 18 years, and now she's really very, very worried about what's happening at First Alliance. So this is absolute proof of what he intended to do. But Dave and Brent Kinney would not accept that. They wouldn't accept any of the comments that Pat Nixon made about the early meetings with Les Bombonard. He was.
So they would not accept those
materials. No.
Because they just listened to
Les
and Pastor James. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, it's a terrible indictment to pass on senior leadership, but the truth is that Ron kept us out of marriage ministry with no reason. We only ever had one team meeting in right. 2.5 years.
Ron's decision was he getting direction from above him?
We can't tell you. We don't honestly know, but we do know a lot of, we believe confidential information was part, when we first made a complaint, confidential information that we shared with Tim Beadle from the area office somehow got through to Ron and was to Les, and I think then to Ron and Teresa Bushman. So we didn't even have a chance to tell Tim Beadle our story. It was already out and the defense was already being put together.
Oh, okay.
I mean, any reasonable person who listens to our story would say this is impossible to believe. If you talk to our doctors, the psychotherapists we're working with, I mean, they are absolutely disgusted that they've known, you know, for nearly a year now, the pain and agony that we've gone through. We liken it. We lost a son in 1991. We liken the grief we're feeling to losing our son.
Wow.
That's the level that these guys have taken us through.
That's crazy,
yeah. It's tragic. A whole church leadership has put themselves at risk, and the elders sit back and do nothing.
Carlos, you know, today's been a particularly, you know, distressing day for us, and it's as Barry's explained, it's for something that we've been involved with and believe that God gave us a talent and. You know, we're, I think, required as Christians to get, when God gives you gifts, I think we use them to honor God. And that's what we have done with couples for 18 years. And so to suddenly have this happen to us has caused us both, you know, extreme
grief.
And distress and despair and any other word that you can put in there, because you have taken something that we loved and were dedicated, just as we loved our son.
Yeah.
And you have taken that away from us. And so it's very hard to talk about.
You're the only person who has even reached out to us from an elder level. As far as we're concerned, Dave and Brent Kinney are totally misled in what their duties are.
Barry and Jennifer, this is what I'm prepared to do, and I'm willing to do. It's what I will do. I will send an email to all my fellow elders.
Yes.
And suggest that as soon as possible, maybe in the next board meeting, I want to be there too, but I'm still in the Philippines.
Well, you can connect by phone. Connect by phone.
Yeah, we could do that too. Yeah. And suggest that we have time to listen to your side.
What I think, Carlos, would be really good, would it be possible to have an independent chairperson facilitate that meeting? Could we at least...
I could try for that, yeah.
Because that's what we need. We need somebody who's willing to ask tough questions of the elders and of the pastors, somebody who can...
Yeah, I mean, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't talk to anybody because, I mean, you already tried Brent Trash and Team Beetle from the district.
Oh, yeah, they're totally on board with Les Bombonard.
So I don't know who else that we can... I don't know any personally that we can use.
Well, what we'd like to do, we obviously would bring Pat Nixon with us, who's you know, who's walked through this journey. Without Pat and Melody Bissell from Plan to Protect, we'd have just left, and we'd have just walked away, and we'd have been sad. I mean, the other one that I've got to tell you that upset us a lot when we heard the what happened to Carrie Thiessen.
And I think I'm upset about that too.
Yeah. So that is, again, it's the lies that go on to try and cover that you've literally fired somebody with no warning.
Yeah.
But concerning, you know, our issue is that we've tried to be, we have been very open and honest. We have never kept any notes or any emails from anybody. We have done our utmost to be transparent and open,
mm-hmm.
and we have not found that to be reciprocated by Dave or Brent Kinney. And it's very hard when it's you're in a meeting to not feel that you are dealing with people who are wanting to try and rectify or at least work towards a some type of what's the word I'm looking for? Resolution.
Yes, resolution.
The thing I think that we find that's the most frustrating is that there seems to be, for whatever reason, a barrier that's formed. And, you know, Dave Orr has admitted twice or maybe three times that the church does not have a process in place to deal with difficult issues. And we're saying, but, you know, there should have been something in place because there are. What has happened to other people in the past then that have had difficult issues that have been brought up? I know what's happened to them, Carlos. They haven't, they've left the church.
A lot of times they're swept under the carpet.
Yeah, well, the thing is that Brent Trask sort of in a way was trying to slur us by a previous experience we had in 2004. That was one which was definitely spiritual abuse. Rowley Lang arbitrated in our favour, and Rowley was very honest. He said, you're going to become members of this church again, but they want you out. And they did the most awful things to us when we returned to that church. So we understand, we actually helped...
Oh, they meaning an Alliance church?
No, it was a small Baptist church.
Okay.
But Rowley Lang, I mean, you can ask Rowley Lang. I mean, it was a very, very bad situation, which we had to go to court to actually get an independent person like Rowley. We agreed on, both sides agreed with Rowley. But mm-hmm. the other thing that worried us, when Les, last November, admitted that he was in a conflict of interest. He admitted he was in a conflict, but he appointed Brent Kinney. He had discussions with Brent Kinney ahead of us meeting Brent. And even the first meeting that Brent called us to, we didn't expect to have Les Bombonard there. Why? And all he did was pick away at anything we said. And we wrote to Brent the next morning, and we told him, this is totally unacceptable. You can't have the person who's part of the problem saying that he doesn't believe anything of what we've said. I mean, an arbitrator is meant to act fairly, and Brent Kinney has not.
I agree with you. He has acted... Not the right way of doing it.
As a doctor, he knew that we were highly stressed. We've said that we're incredibly stressed. We're under doctor's care. And he continued to act in the best interests of Les Bombonard. And it's just there's something really wrong. You know, I've got to a feeling that we shouldn't be using the Bible in at First Alliance. We should throw them all out because nobody seems to believe in slander or bearing false witness or misuse of scripture. Nobody cares. And this is coming from the very top, which is really just distressing. So I'm sorry to...
If it's any comfort to you, I do care about...
Yeah, well, I...
I have to say I'm saddened, and I agree that this has to be should have been settled a long time ago, I will do what I can to push your your case through so that we can get it heard in an unbiased platform, and then we'll go from there.
I think this has been the challenge that. I shared with you what we sent to Dave Orr on the 22nd of November. We asked him as the chairman of the elders to help and advise us on what to do.
Right.
And he didn't do that. Now, Brent Kinney, as far as we can see from all the dates that we have, Brent Kinney was selected by Les Bombonard. Dave Orr claims that he was involved in the discussions, but there is no evidence that Dave Orr was ever involved. He only got involved, I think, when we started to challenge Brent Kinney on his impartiality.
Okay.
I'm afraid, you see, one of the challenges is for the people on the other side. We have a complete listing, chronology of everything that's happened. And it's almost like the other people don't understand all the things that have happened. And we've got it in a very detailed chronology. And we're 100% certain that stuff that we've discussed with Brent Kinney and Dave Orr has been shared almost immediately with Les Bombonard. I mean, this is incredible that an arbitrator doesn't act fairly.
Yeah.
There's just so much that we could... I did share with you the Brent Trask talks about an offence that we didn't accept the apology. You can't accept an apology for the list of things that has happened.
So Ron did apologize to you?
All he said at the meeting after we went through the three issues that we brought up was that, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.
We were shocked because the major issue of throwing us out on the 27th of May, he lied and his wife lied about what had happened.
Right.
I mean, it was a complete... We can't accept an apology like that.
An apology.
It wasn't an apology, no. It was done with no sincerity. There was no humbling or repentance.
The thing is, it's very hard when somebody says, I'm sorry, we're not... What Brent Kinney, who was... chairing the meeting, you know, if that was an apology, then he should have perhaps turned to us and said, you know, you've heard what Ron has said here, asked us, you know, would we accept his apology? But when somebody says they're sorry, we didn't know what he was saying he was sorry for, because we were saying, you know, there has spiritual abuse has occurred here, and we cited the instances. It is also bearing false witness and
misuse of scripture. I mean, he can't just say sorry to a whole series of things. He's just lied, and his wife has just lied about what happened on the 27th of May. He's just lied. How could we possibly just go, oh, Ron, we accept your apology. You can't do that. I mean, he wasn't apologizing for lying. He wasn't apologizing for lying.
What was he apologizing for?
We honestly don't know.
No. He just said, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," three times.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as I say, neither Dave or Brent
challenged him on it. He didn't say, "I'm sorry for doing this" or "I'm sorry for doing that." He almost. It's almost like he knew that he was protected.
Okay.
I mean, Elaine Young is a very, very, you know, well-respected lady. When she says that a month before he had obviously planned to get rid of us, I think her testimony is worth a lot.
We were working, you know, with the team. So, you know, there are people within that team. We don't know what Ron has told them in terms of ourselves, of why we're no longer working on the marriage team. We only know that on a couple of occasions it's been very uncomfortable to be at church, or we went to a function there where we bumped into somebody that was on the team, because we have no idea what Ron has shared with the other team members behind our backs, because, you know, he's obviously told them something.
Well, what he told us on the 27th of May was he'd formed a core group of people he could work with, a core group. And I'm afraid the first meeting that we went to with Tim Beadle and Les Bombonard, I said, "I've got to say, when I hear core and I know what was going on, it looked like a cult." And Les was very upset with me. But I'm afraid that's what it feels like. We're dealing with somebody who doesn't ever, you know, a team like you as an elder. You have a responsibility as a member of the elder team that you can't just simply whitewash any decision that's made. And this is what was going on. Ron made all the decisions. There were, as we say, the confidentiality issue he did not deal with. He still hasn't dealt with it. And Ron, Les Bombonard, sees no problem with that. I mean, it's a whole mess of so many things that have been done badly, and I'm afraid we'll say quite openly to the rest of your elders that Dave Orr and Brent Kinney have tried to sweep it all under the carpet. That's exactly what Pat Nixon feels. It's exactly what Melanie Bissell of Plan to Protect says.
The church, Carlos, up until I think 3 years ago, used Plan to Protect. They use that document, they use that organisation, and for whatever reason, of which I can't seem to get a grasp from anybody to tell me, you stop using it. If Plan to Protect was in place, there would have been an avenue to have dealt with some of this, because that's what Plan to Protect does. It deals with the elderly in the church, the children, and people. And
there is no place to...
what was it replaced with?
It wasn't. It wasn't. In fact, we didn't realise it wasn't there anymore. So the second meeting with Les Bombonard, I quoted Plan to Protect, because Melanie Bissell has been with us all the way through this terrible journey. And I said, You don't comply with what Plan Protect asks for. And he said, "Oh, we don't use Plan to Protect anymore, so it doesn't apply." So the principles that Plan to Protect, you know, are very strong on, he just wiped it off the chart. And
Plan to Protect is used in nearly every Alliance church in Calgary and probably across Canada. It's
it's a protection. And what they did last year, in the beginning of 2016, Melanie Bissell came out with a very brave webinar on spiritual abuse. She actually describes exactly what we've gone through. And so when we first spoke to her, and I spoke to her at the assembly, the big assembly, I spoke to her almost the next day. She sent us the webinar that she had produced and which has gone to most, I believe, most Alliance churches. But it's like it's a topic that nobody wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, misuse of authority, it's almost like it's acceptable that ministers and pastors can misuse their power. And we think in this case, we can itemize the times that this has happened just to us. But other than you, you're the only person who's cared to even get back to us. So.
Okay, like I said earlier in our amount of time you spend just...
Oh, we've spent months trying to research what leadership should do, what it should be like.
And trying to approach it from a Christ-like manner as well. You know, what does...
Exactly, yeah.
What is, you know, the correct way to do it, you know, and... you know, we are, when we say we have been spiritually abused, we do not say that lightly. We know very clearly what has happened to us, Carlos, and we've had it verified by professionals that we have experienced spiritual abuse. And there are one of the probably most informative books out there is The Subtle Power of Spiritual Abuse by Johnson and Van Vonderon. And spiritual abuse is when somebody who is in a position of power or authority misuses it and causes harm or hurt to another individual. That's a very simplistic, it's a little bit more... detailed, but that, you know, things do happen, we realize that, but when somebody goes out of their way
for 11 months
to cause, you know, stress and to, you know, do the things that have transpired and nobody is, you know, holding anybody accountable. It's like, you know, what is the real function of the elder board? It's a twofold one where you're responsible for the pastors and giving them counsel, wise counsel, and holding them up in prayer and any other way that is... you possibly can, working on committees for specific things, you know, with your pastors. But there's also, you know, the congregation side of the church. You know, we are all, you know, Christ doesn't put pastors any higher than anybody else in the congregation. You know, we're all designed equal in God's eyes. And we should all be treated equally. Yeah. We're all as important as each other. Nobody is more special to God than another person, are they, Carlos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
So anyway, maybe the thing is, I think we've shared our heart with you, and all we can do, Carlos, is pray that you will be heard, and we do have an opportunity.
Yeah.
To address the elders in a safe environment, that there's some level of control put on anybody.
And
just
that's what I will endeavor to do. Is
okay.
Email the elders and just you know, see if they will agree with me that we should have the opportunity for you to let us know your side of the
story.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, we appreciate that. And
I think after that, then, you know, hopefully this will be resolved and that...
We want to be proactive. We want to be part of a solution that heals. We've said to Dave Orr and Brent Kinney and to Les, we want to be proactive. We understand this problem.
You know, if there's a problem with the way things are being done at First Alliance, you know, let's all be honest about it.
We're
not pointing fingers. Let's just fix it once and for all.
Absolutely, that's what we've said. That we actually helped run a workshop in 2006 with Alberta Bible College on spiritual abuse. 44 people came, including pastors, ministers, but many people who'd been hurt. 44 people. This unfortunately, people are leaving the church in droves because they don't have the strength that God has given us to actually, I mean, we're facing a whole church leadership. I mean, where on earth, why did God choose us to do this?
And
I don't know.
And I can tell you, Carlos, for both of us, this has been a painful journey, and I wouldn't ever want to wish this on anybody, but we feel that God is at our back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has us in his arms.
Yeah.
And as much as it hurts and as much
the right
as it
thing, and that's all you need. You know, you don't need humans to say you're doing the right thing. As long as you feel that from the Holy Spirit, that's the most important thing.
It would be so easy just to walk away, like, you know, we know people who have walked away from the church never to return because they you actually feel like you've been molested. That's the word that Jennifer has said many times. We feel like we've been spiritually molested by leaders, and that's terrible that we have.
Anyway,
Carlos, we'll let you go, and all we can say is God bless you for at least listening to us. That is part of what we need, is somebody other than Pat Nixon to listen to Melanie. Melanie has been she is an incredible resource on issues like this. What we would like to see is not only for us to share our story, but let's plan to have some workshops on this topic. Because it's an important topic to talk about, how to identify it. You know, we don't say that Les Bernard is a bad person, but unfortunately, somewhere down the line, he's got a very skewed idea of what leadership is. He just doesn't understand. Unfortunately, we try to say that the staff covenant, which is very, we think, should have been an important document, when we point out that in the first 2.5 years, we never saw sight of Les, and he's the pastor in charge of marriage and family. We never saw sight of him. We never heard from him. We never had a message. And it took 6 weeks to get the first meeting with him, and it took he gave us 9 minutes of his time.
Carlos, can I just ask you something? When you decided or you were approached to take the position of being a elder, did you sign a covenant agreement? What were the requirements of you becoming an elder, or anybody, sorry, within the church becoming an elder? And once you agree, then are you required to comply with
the covenant?
With a covenant agreement?
After we have been selected and approved by the membership, then we have to agree to some sort of a covenant.
Okay.
But it's not before.
No, okay. Okay, but that's fine if you have to do it to fulfill the role. And we can't.
I have to admit, it's not a very formal document.
The staff covenant is a very, very precise document, which we understand, talking to some other team leaders, they've had to sign this, and it is very, very strict on the requirements of running the team, looking after your team, shepherding your team, looking after the weakest members.
I mean, that's the reason why the elders form a governance team go through the governance, because, I have to admit, the governance of First Align has been very loose, in my opinion.
It's been very slack. We know that it's been very slack.
So this, as the governance team are hard at work at it, trying to fine-tune or change some of the bylaws and even parts of the Constitution so that it's more streamlined and so reflects what we are doing, because sometimes we're not even following it anymore.
No, no. And I'm afraid our experience shows so many holes in the system that nobody is really watching out for, any sense of evaluation.
Holes, but at least we're doing something about it.
Oh, good. No, I mean, that's good. But even Brent Trask admits that there's been deficiencies in the governance at the church. And this is sad when the district superintendent admits that it took too long to get to our situation. The governance is requires a lot of work. I mean, what on earth is going on? I mean,
I know there would be some recommendations coming from the board to the membership this coming fall for the membership meeting to make changes.
Yeah. Anyway, we should let you go, and we're sorry to...
No, I'm glad I get to talk to you. I just, like I said, I'm shocked that it has not been I'll do what I can.
Okay.
And to push this through.
Okay. Just to raise awareness would be the start.
Yeah. They can always come back to me and say, no, we got to listen to Dave or listen to the pastor's team or whatever. But I'll push that as best I can.
No, we appreciate that.
Carlos, if you have somebody independently look at things, what is wrong with that? Because if we all profess to follow the principles of how we're supposed to live our lives, we've got nothing to fear.
If this is uncovered.
Personally, for me, everything has to be transparent.
Yeah.
That's how you need to run an organization.
Yeah.
If they're trying to hide things, it never yeah. works, and in the end, it's gonna come back to haunt you.
Yeah. No, and we're happy that an independent arbitrator looks at our behavior. Maybe we've done something. Maybe we're responsible for some of this, and we're happy to admit, you know, if it's pointed out to us, we're happy to have our record and our behavior examined closely. We have no fear.
I would have thought, like, Brent Trott is the district, he would have been a good third-party
arbitrator. But no, Les and Tim Beadle, I'm sorry to put it bluntly, have been got at. They've been got at. Because it is a critical time for First Alliance. It's a critical time for the Alliance Church. And we do not want to cause a huge disruption for obvious reasons. But this kind of thing can't go on. You know?
I forgot his name, though. But we have a new superintendent coming in this year. But I forgot his name.
Well, it desperately needs somebody to pull up that rug and start to look at what's under it.
Yeah.
As you said, we feel very badly for the Thiessens, because I can't think of a more Christian leader that we've met. He's been incredibly encouraging to us. And I think Kerry and Shirley are so... Like, I worked with Shirley on the grief video that she did, and we got to know them because, like her, because we've lost a son.
Right.
And to hit them as they did, out of the blue, this wasn't... Kerry, we'd like you to improve your skills in these areas. He was thrown out. Now, we don't know the full history, but we do know that he was summoned to a room where he was given, he was fired. How can that happen?
And to be honest with you, Barry, Kerry and Shirley are very good friends of mine.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I was totally disgusted when I heard the fact that we were not even consulted before they made the decision.
Yeah.
I was totally disgusted by that.
Well, we know a little bit about the background as well, and we've tried to come alongside the two of them. And we came alongside them because when they lost their son, I mean, we know the pain and agony of that. And then when you ban them from coming to, or you tell them you can't come back to the church, I mean, that is incredibly painful to completely cut you off from your church family.
And Kerry was one of those individuals. He was all... ways, he is probably one of the best communicators with people in that church as a leader. You know, he's very easy to talk to. He's very
compassionate.
He's very personable, and so his presence is missing there, because you go past the information desk, which is normally where we'd always bump into him, and now he's no longer there. We're not the only ones that are missing him. There's a lot of people that miss his personality and his contributions that he was doing, both him and Shirley, because she's a very prayerful and dedicated lady. So as a couple,
they're missed.
Definitely. And like I said, I was disgusted by that decision.
Yeah.
But
anyway, I think we've said enough, and we're just going to pray that somebody will hear you. We just feel we haven't been heard, and
about, yeah, if I can request you to pray for me.
We will.
For the situation, and that, you know, somehow the truth will be revealed, that, you know, the Holy Spirit will prompt each heart.
Yeah.
To hear what's best for yeah. First Alliance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're there for. We're, yeah. we're doing all this work for God.
Yeah.
At First Alliance.
Yeah.
And we all should be in the same team and the same heart.
Absolutely. But there shouldn't be division.
And this could be, you know, turned around, Carlos, and this could be just a wonderful, dare I say, learning experience.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes God gives us hindsight where afterwards you've had an experience or a learning experience.
Well, the thing is that we came, I don't know whether you know our background, we came to First Alliance by chance because we're the coaches for the marriage, the Alpha Marriage course, and
okay.
your whoever was facilitating an upcoming marriage preparation course decided to back out at the last minute, and they called us in some level of panic and said, "Can you recommend somebody?" And we said, "We'll get back to you." And we took 5 minutes over coffee and said, "We love working with pre-married couples. We'll do it." And so that was that was the first of four marriage prep courses we ran in late 2013 and 2014. We love working with pre-married couples.
And then we did a marriage.
We did two marriage courses, but then unfortunately whatever it was. And again, we're happy to have our record looked at. What did we do wrong by asking to have a policy on confidentiality?
And proper team meetings.
And proper team meetings. Everything that the staff covenant requires.
And having the ministry set up in a proper way where you've got minutes and an agenda.
Well, and then we felt we have a responsibility. We can't just simply be a member of the marriage team and simply let stuff go without comment.
Right.
You, just like you do, you have probably a pretty heavy legal responsibility as an elder of that church. You're an officer of the church. You can't You can't
members who's the church, we're liable.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. You know, when Melanie Bissell says to us, "You've only got two options now." This is a lady, a very faithful lady, says, "You've only got two options to get this cleared up, an independent arbitration or legal." This is coming from a very strong Christian.
Yeah.
She is so frustrated by what has been done.
Yeah.
And you know, she would be very willing to help heal this situation in a way that would become a blessing to God. I mean, this is it's terrible for me to think that this could be an amazing blessing to God, a healing that actually encompasses so many things that have been going wrong.
Yeah.
Carlos, could I pray for you as a last point? Could I pray for you?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, sure. Carlos, I almost can't say anything because there are tears in my eyes, and I think Jennifer and I have just felt a connection with you over this last half an hour. And Father, I just pray you're listening to our sorrow and perhaps our opportunity to make a major change to one of the largest churches in Canada. Father, just hear our prayers. Father, we just ask you to be with Carlos as he attempts to at least open up a transparent discussion, a conversation, that we can honestly open our hearts, everybody, about what has happened over the past year and even previous to that. You know, let this be an opportunity for reconciliation, not with just Jennifer and I, but probably with many people who have wandered away because they felt they were not heard or they were hurt by maybe slight things. But Father, just help Carlos open the door to start a process where we can have something in place where people can safely share sorrowful situations like this. Father, be with Carlos as he attempts to open a transparent line of communication with his fellow elders. We pray for this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Barry.
Okay.
Yeah.
We love you, Carlos, for listening to us. Good night.
Good night, Carlos.